ever since I was a little bitty boy, I was an early riser and early to bed. I never was one. Even as a teenager, my friends, I'd spend the night with them. They'd be up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be asleep by 10:30, 11 o'clock. Of course, you know, come around here, though, you know, I did stay up a little later, but usually I still first one to go to sleep. Go to a meeting, stay with some boys and stuff. I'm glad nobody tried to prank me, because they could have just done all kinds of stuff to me. But I remember staying with some of my friends at the meeting. They put us all together and, you know, in a dorm or something, and I'd be out. I mean, they didn't have to tell me lights out. I was out. I'll tell you that to tell you this. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning, and I don't do good on low sleep. And so I did pretty good. I had a full head of steam. Cindy will testify that, too. And I hit my mom's the same way, so I take after. We get a full head of steam going, and then when we hit a wall. So I'm sitting here. We're getting ready for church to start. And Brother Parker and I, we had went and ate some Mexican food about 5 o'clock. And that just kind of compounds the situation on me. Oh, me's right. So I don't know what I'll be much good for tonight. Because when Dad told me, so you're being in charge tonight, I'm thought, well, thank goodness Brother Parker's going to be there tonight. And speaking of which, aren't we glad to have Brother Parker come down from, he could have went home, had some training to do, or some CE, or is that what you had, some CE? And it was done today, and if he's like me, I like to get home. But he said, I want to stay and be in service with you. I can go home tomorrow. So I appreciate him staying. And then we got a homegirl here tonight, Sister Brenda Hutchison. She's going to go to the Dominican Republic. She's spending the night with the Tallies tonight and loading up with them in the morning and flying down there and being a part of what's going on. And we're glad that she's here and staying. And she may stay a little time after when she gets back, I think. She's telling me. And if you had, when I talked to her, I thought, now, you know, she just got having a traumatic affliction, you know, breaking her leg, but she looks so vibrant. And I was sitting there talking to her. I was like, well, she really looks good, you know. And so, I'm glad that she's doing good and getting to go, you know. So we have a lot to be thankful for. I know we've got several out tonight and everything. Mom, Dad's headed out to Dominican. Took Nathan with him. He's excited to get to go. I didn't realize this was the first time for him to go on a big plane. So it's an exciting time for him. And then to be a part of what's going on over there. That's a good thing, and I'm happy for him. And so, but we're all here, and we all need to get a refueling, fueling tonight, filling up midweek fill up station. You know, I do these workouts, man. I thought I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof, man. I'm doing these CrossFit workouts. I'm becoming an elite commando or whatever. No, I get out, but I didn't realize, man, things change when you get 40. And I'm going like 3 and 4 days and 5 days a week working out. And I'm not talking about just go run on treadmill. I'm talking about lifting heavy weights, deadlifts, squats, overhead presses. And I found out that I do better when I get some rest between workouts. I do better on 2 or 3 of them a week, not and rest and recover 4 days a week. I got to have some recovery time. And since I started doing some recovery, because it got to where I'd go, and I wasn't getting any stronger. I wasn't getting any better. I was just dragging. And I thought, well, and then a funny thing happened. I got a little break in between. Only got a couple workouts in about 2 weeks. Man, I come in, I'm lifting more weight than I ever did and running further than I did. And I thought, there's the key. I got to have more. The older you get, the more recovery you got to have. So here we are out going throughout our week. And this is our recovery. We're recovering this tonight. We're getting, fueling up our body, our spiritual body. Also entering into his rest, getting some more rest, and getting fueled up to get back out there and get under the load again. So that's why I'm here. Right? Is that why you're here? Come to get something good? Sometimes it don't take much. You know, me and Brother Weiniger was talking before church, and we was talking about siestas, you know, getting a siesta. The Spanish people figured out a long time ago that you can get you a siesta. And I know some people say, well, what about Santa Ana? You know, they was siesta and got run over. But no, but they really found out that, you know, you can get just a little power nap in at lunchtime and feel good that afternoon. And I've kind of, for years I've done that since I was roofing. After lunch, I take about a 10-minute nap. I don't do it at my office. I don't want anybody walking in on me. But I go out to my car in the springtime. I roll the windows down. In the summertime, I turn the car on. In wintertime, I do too. And I just turn it on, and I just kick back. And in about 10 minutes, that's all I need. I was tired, but now I'm wide awake. I'm ready to hit the afternoon going again. And I can't hardly do it. I've gotten so used to it, I can't hardly do it now without taking just a 10-minute. Sometimes it ain't but 5 minutes. And sometimes a little siesta. Power nap, rest. I just need just a little bit of rest. Is all I need. And I'm back up to the office, and I'm putting my afternoon cup of coffee on, gassed up, ready to go for the rest of the afternoon. And so, we come in here today. We're getting a power nap, a power surge, and ready to hit the rest of the week before we come in and really get full on our big Sundays that we have. So I'm happy I'm kind of getting woke up here. Yeah. Yeah, just talking about it getting me excited. And having my good friends, the happy faces that I see here. I appreciate you, everyone. I was come in and did a, it's our cleaning month, so I was emptying trash and doing the things I do. I got my little assignments I do. And I looked up, got done, and I looked up, and Sister Crow's getting out of the car with her cane, and Brother Crow with his walking assistant walker that he's got, and make it in here. And I thought, well, now if they can have to get along with that and make the effort to come in here, to come to church, then I should feel really glad that I don't need that yet, and that I can. And they're doing it with a smile on the face and glad they got here. And I thought, well, I'm glad I got here, and I'm glad they got here too. And each and every one of us, you know, brother and sister Tally, they got to get up early in the morning and head to the airport with my dad's white shirts that he forgot to. I don't know if he forgot him or he thought he had some over there. I don't know what the deal is. And then I, right now, when you start a business, it takes a while to get to where your, you know, your business is, makes money, right? You know, they say 5 years. They tell me in this business I'm in, it's going to take you 4 or 5 years to where you're making some money. And so I, me and Cindy, you know, sometimes we have to search the couch cushions for some loose change every once in a while, you know, to go buy a loaf of bread before the next check comes in. And so I thought, man, I'm wearing my shoes out. My shoes are about wore out. I'm going to have to go and buy some shoes. And I'm thinking, I know how much them shoes cost. You see these shoes, honey, boogers? And me and Brother Daniels have been talking. And he's telling me about these shoes that he can find at the Goodwill. I'm not talking about Kmart and Walmart dress shoes. I'm talking about uptown $200 pair of shoes that he can find for virtually if pennies on the dollar at the Goodwill. And so my shoes are getting so wore out, they even hurt my feet, but I've got the only nice pair of dress shoes I got. So here he walked in with a pair of shoes, and they was pennies on the dollar, and I didn't even wait to get them home. He already had them polished up for me. And that got me encouraged. Man, there's more benefits than you can imagine just coming to church. Never tell how God's going to bless you. May bless you in the natural if you just can get here. So I'm just excited to be here tonight and be with all y'all, and glad to have Brother Parker and Sister Brenda with us. We got any other guests? I don't want to leave anybody. I don't see anybody. I should be able to spot some man tonight if it was here. I got a text from Brother Curtis. Said he was, they're sick tonight. I don't know if it's him or Karen got a kidney infection, but they're sick. And then pray for Jaron. He's over in Europe climbing the Matterhorn. I don't know what he's doing over there. He's up, you know, he's in Austria. I can just see him in them little Austrian shorts with them suspenders on, yodeling on the mountain up there. I wish somebody'd video him yodeling on a mountain in Austria, or singing The Sound of Music or something, you know. And I could just imagine he's having a good time. I hope he has some good stories to tell us about what all of his experiences, and gets it recorded, post it on Facebook. Tell us all about it. I'm excited for him, what he's getting to do. Keep praying for Sister Linda and the family, and all the things that y'all are going through right now, and with the brother passing of Brother Ray, and who else do we have any needs? Brother, Sister Elsie's not here. I know she needs her. I don't see any of the Ratliff family. Yes. Okay. Sister Helen, stage 3 ovarian cancer. So that's very serious. Sister Donna's mother, pray for her. Frances Sanders, Sister Donna's mother. Brother David Angelo, my dad told me this morning they sent him home, called hospice for hospice to come in. So they asked the Lord to either a miracle or comfort, one or the other. Sister Sandra? She's in the hospital? I did not know that. It's a possibility she has a blood infection. Well, what hospital? She over in St. Vincent? UAMS? When'd she go? Okay. Well, she was looking so good the other day. I mean, she was on cloud 9. Smiles and happy she got to go fishing and all that stuff, and happy to be in church. And she just was at the wasn't she at the
visitation, the viewing, and the funeral. And so she just seemed like she was doing so good. I'd hate to hear that, so I'll have to put in a call and see how she's doing. So, yes. Oh, yes, your sister. What was her name again? Lila May? Lila May. Okay. Sister Sandra's sister. Yes. I can guarantee you my dad's not having his white shirts. A man not getting his white shirts is not near as severe as a woman not getting her luggage. It could be 2 days. Pray for her. Play that it gets down there or she remains calm and does not panic. So, all right. Well, Let's stand. Yes. Can't imagine. Pray for them. Public church, is it? Public church in prayer. Yes. Okay. Sister Tiffany. Cindy and I won't be here this weekend. We'll be up in Branson at our Edward Jones regional meeting. We're leaving in the morning to go. So we ask, y'all see everybody stand. Let's take these knees before the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Ask you to be with us tonight. We bring all these needs, every one that was mentioned here. Serious, Brother Angela, family to be with them. Other ones that are mentioned here that had cancer, Sister Sanders' sister, Sister Durham's sister, Lily May and Helen. Touch Sister Elsie in the hospital.
Michael up any longer. I better hurry and get up. Good to be here tonight. Put on Jeremy. Praise God. Well, I always am glad to be in Little Rock. The saints here, brothers and sisters, Christ. I always want to be at the body of Christ, no matter where I'm at. But Little Rock does hold a special place in my heart. Labor all over the years. Different ministers that have worked here, building on the same project, and I've just been a part of that project, and thank God I could be a part. And Brother Dave's was this last meeting called an extra camp meeting, and we spent about a half a day talking about that. He asked them when they wanted it, and all the ministers wanted it in the middle of the week. And I thought, well, that's fine for them, but what about the little people? Like me, that, you know, need a little bit of weekend to get the whole meeting. You know, you run out of vacation pretty quick and force us to choose where we go a little more tightly. But I told him this. I said, when my wife and I got married, she was 15 and a half years behind the next sibling, so she was more or less an only child, even though she was the fifth out of five. But I was the number two out of five in mine, and right in the, you know, big middle of it. But when that little girl of mine was wanting to eat ice cream, I was more than willing to share. And Mom thought, well, fine, I'll get to eat all my ice cream and you can share with her. What I knew was that eventually that little girl would get my taste. And when she finally did have a voice in what kind of ice cream do we want, there would be two of us wanting my... So while they're too little to have a voice, just give them what you got and they'll get your taste. And that's what Little Rock has done over the years, and I know Wichita's got this year's youth meeting, but when I was too little to have a voice, and I don't hardly still yet have a very much of a voice, somebody was getting their flavor in me. And I just love Little Rock flavor. And so as I get a voice, I'll be voting Little Rock as much as I can. And, of course, we do want the will of the Lord. I don't want to get that wrong either. But God sometimes works his will in little ways and in small ways. And a lot of times you don't realize how God, what God is doing and how the sacrifices of today are affecting tomorrow. And how that God works that. Those that do his will today, even though it might not seem glamorous or glorious, it might be with opposition and just like a youth meeting, you don't have a youth meeting to take up a big offering. You know, some people do get a big offering in meetings, and I've heard preachers accuse other preachers, you just want a meeting so you get the big offering that goes with it. Anyway, you don't have youth meetings for that purpose. It is a sacrifice. And so we make sacrifices, and God honors them, and we sometimes know and sometimes don't know what God wants, but we do realize this, that the will of God, I've been working with a lot of problems lately, but I say this, I feel encouraged in the Lord. And every problem we faced, I just see, I told somebody, I said, I see rainbows in this cloud. And you can have trouble, but you can see that God's involved in it. And the more you get God and his will involved in it, the more, that's when God is trying us and proving us, the bottom line of every trial is our will or God's will. That's really the bottom line. And what it really comes down to yet again is God tries us in hopes that we'll try God. And when you can finally get that much faith that in the midst of a trial, you're going, okay, Lord, my faith is in you, my trust is in you, and no matter what happens, I'm not going to change where that's at. And you really begin to try God, you pass the trial. In fact, I've had the Lord tell me a few times, I wanted out of one. And he said, when you learn it, and you get it, I'll let you out. I had one, and I've testified about that one when I actually left Ponca City, that about 5 years later, I'm like, Lord, do I have it yet? And oh, how long can it last? But nonetheless, God carried me through that. That's really when we begin to see faith. Faith is the realm that we have to start in, and we stay in, and we never leave the realm of faith. And really what happens is, as we grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory, and as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, and for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Even as the scripture saith, the just shall live by faith. So we start out in a faith, and God doesn't want us to stay in that faith. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. They have faith and it worked today and it worked yesterday, but it may not work tomorrow, and it's not working as good today as it did yesterday. That's why religion is going dead, because they built their walls around their faith, and God is demanding that we grow in faith, grow in grace. And that's where the Bible said, he that hath not, even that he does have, will be taken away from him. God tries to give you faith, and you say, I can't get it, Lord. I can't do it, Lord. I can't understand it, Lord. We never extend ourselves and reach out, and at times you've got to get earnest with God. I'm getting more comfortable. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting more comfortable saying, Lord, I don't see any way through this. But I know, and that's a thing we can do in prayer. We can say, Lord, I know you've called me here. I know this is your will. And though I don't see a way through this, I know you're going to help me. Whatever it is. That's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood that fiery furnace, they didn't know if God would, but they knew he could. And that great example they are yet to us today. But the thing about any trial is this: if you don't have the real possibility of defeat, you don't have real victory. You have to have a possibility of a real defeat to have a real victory. And God will bring you to that point where you know it can go real bad or it can go real good. But you know it can go either way. Well, rejoice at that time. It's real. God's in it. See, if our faith is in him and we're built up in the Lord, and we're built up, and that's why I thank God, in a most holy faith. We don't want our faith to be common. We don't want our faith to be in a Laodicean state, where it's a lazy faith, and a faith that we think we're fine and we're rich and we're increased with goods and we have need of nothing. But sometimes it's a blessing of the Lord when you really feel, and I prayed this way a lot lately, Lord, let me feel my nakedness. Let me feel my poverty spiritually. God, that I would have a stronger desire to be clothed upon with that white raiment, that I'd have a stronger desire to be made rich with true riches, Lord, that I'd feel my soul and the need of my soul. You feel the need of our body sometimes so much. That's one reason why fasting is so effective. It causes you to neglect the need of your body, trying to feel the need of your soul. And trust me, your body will scream at you the whole time, you're killing me, you're killing me, you're killing me. Your kidneys will get to hurting because you're not drinking enough water. And if you drink enough water, you get sick at your stomach. And that's the way I am. Some people, they're different. But I just get in a catch-22, and your head will, you know, get all fuzzy and hurting. And your body just tells you, you're killing me, you're killing me. You wake up because you're hungry, and you're tired because you're hungry. But What about your soul? What about your soul? How hungry is it? How hungry are you for the will of God to be done in your life? And that's what we're trying to do again, is get the will of God worked in us. How much do we see our need for that will to be worked in us? How much do we understand that in order for the kingdom of God to come, the will of God is going to have to be done in earth as it is in heaven? I want to see that will. But that same will of God, Romans 2 said, God's not willing that any should perish. Jesus said there again to his disciples, he said, it's not the Father's will that the least of these should perish. Speaking about the one sheep, when the shepherd went, left the 99 and went to look for the one, it was God's will that not one of them perish. And I thank God that the will of God is that we be saved. The will of God, and it's contrary to our flesh, because if we partake of the lust and the desires and the appetites of the flesh, we realize that there's a way that seems right in a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And see, that's the thing. There's a way that seems right in a man, but the end thereof are the ways, plural, of death. You'll come before God and you'll finally find yourself the enemy of God. We were talking about that earlier today, how that we can get into a satanic spirit, realizing that's where several of us get in collusion against God. And maybe we realize it, and maybe we don't realize it. Lord, if we ever do, help us to realize it. God will. That's the scary thing. Dealing with a case here in Republic where God's been strengthening this particular person and working with them and getting kind of excited about it. But God has strengthened that person really to draw them to a point of decision. I told him, I said, you're going to have to make up your mind, because you're fixing to lose big time. Or you could win big time, depending on what you decide. But you're at that crossroads, and it's going to get real good or real bad in a hurry. But God does that to us. He strengthens us so we can receive His will. I thank God that God gives us time. In fact, Jesus praying there in the garden when he was praying, not my will, but thy will be done. Consider, the Lord had to pray that three times. Now, Lord, if you had to go back and pray that three times, I might have to be in there 30 times three. I don't know, but many a time saying, Lord, not thy will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Praying for that help, my brother, that's exercising in faith. And that's where we transition from our will to God's will, is in faith. And as we go more into the faith, we get more into the Holy Ghost and we get more into the Word of God. That's what God does. God provides the Word and God provides the Spirit. And He even has to give us the faith. But we have to receive these things. And we do grow in our faith. And we do choose where our faith is going to be placed, whether we're going to have faith in ourselves or faith in God. And that's what's so really the damnable heresy that's in this world today. It's in religion like it's never been. It's in the secular world, and that is to believe in yourself. You know, you don't need to pray. I appreciate the prayer meeting y'all had today. That inspires me. I'm glad to see that here. I'm glad Republic isn't the only one needing extra prayer. And God will honor that, whoever was bold enough to lead out in that. I don't know if that's... I know how us pastors are. Quite often make decisions based on recommendations. And so Brother Smith was the one that laid that down. He probably had somebody recommending it to him, saying, let's do it, supporting him. And I want to see that. And you know, that is the testimony of Jesus. There in Revelations is at the 19th chapter, and I believe again in the maybe the 21st chapter, speaks of that several times. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And you say, well, what does that mean? The hiss of the serpent is doubt. That's the first thing the serpent did in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, was begin to say, yea, hath God said. And that's really the you look at all of religion today, that's why we've got so many Bible translations and what have you. Did God really say? Can we translate that out? We don't agree with that. and I've done quite a few studies on all of this, and one of them that they've taken out of all these modern translations is Acts chapter 8, where Philip told the eunuch the qualification of being baptized. If you believe in thine heart, with all thine heart, on Jesus, then you may be baptized. Well, that goes directly against infant baptism. And so they wanted to get that out of there. And there isn't hardly any, I don't want to say none, because there's so many out there, but there's not hardly any of them that leave that verse in there. It's taken out. Most people never know it and never know why it was taken out. But that is the hiss of the serpent, did God say. And let me tell you this, if that's all that's in a church, is we can't know the will of God. Did God say, does anybody know the will of God? You're in trouble. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that is somebody and several somebodies being able to say, the Lord spoke to me. And it'll start right here in the pulpit. But it'll be bore witness. Yes, I heard God say. I heard the Lord. He spoke to me also. And it'll be borne witness. And the more testimony of Jesus there is in the church, the more the church is hearing from the Lord. And the more the hiss of the serpent is being in a church, the more that there's doubt and unbelief. And did God really say? And is it really important? And does it really matter that a church that's full of the Lord, whether we're hearing from Him, we're knowing His will, we're knowing His desire, and we know that we can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We can prove that. In fact, Paul said, let me read that there in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. That's one that's really been quickened to me lately. 2 Corinthians 13, one that we all know. But this, and again, this will of God that's trying to be done, and there has to be a life. God's will is for life. Rather, we, knowing who Satan is, knowing this, we don't realize it, but wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in there out, and we don't hardly even realize it when we're going there originally. And then you see, I was driving down a road the other day and saw somebody's window. They had didn't have a curtain. They just had a sheet full of cross or skulls on their sheet. Well, my goodness, how foolish people are to love death. You know, somehow they think, and that's where God said, and I know that's more the mainline religion, but it does apply to the world too, that God would disannul their covenant with death and with hell. He would break that covenant. So somehow they think that they're in cahoots, and I don't, you know, whatever their twisted ideas are, they're wrong, and they're going to partake of death. And I realize that's where my will takes me. That I need help from God. But here in this 13th chapter, Paul says this. In verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? I lose myself in there, Lord. I want to keep proving it. You know, thank God, again, faith will lead us toward the Spirit of God. Brother, that spirit, that's what Paul said, hereby know we are the sons of God by His Spirit that He has given to us. Brother, that Holy Ghost, we begin to exercise in faith, and that Holy Ghost begins to move among us. Brother, there's a no-so about our salvation. There's a no-so about what we're doing. That's why I've appreciated the ministry that's worked in this church. I have benefited from Brother Tucker all the way on. The different ministers that had, thank God, the Word of God and a no-so. And how did we have that no-so? What, these men were educated or that smart or intellectual geniuses. Rather, that Holy Spirit of God would just bear witness with us. Thank God, and I don't believe it's left yet. I know it hasn't left yet. I know it's still here. I appreciate, Brother Smith ain't here, but I appreciate him. It seems like we get so busy, but the last several ministers' meetings, you'll just have to pass this. I'll compliment him behind his back. You'll have to help me out here. But seems like every time we talk, the list is so long you can't ever get through all of what you want to talk about. But I have heard that ring in the last several ministers' meetings. I've appreciated Brother Smith. I've heard that ring of the Holy Ghost in the words that he said and the seasoning that he's put in. And we need to have that. But how do we prove ourselves? Well, with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. That's how we prove where we're at. But we can. That's the main thing. We can prove the will of God. We can know the will of God. We can have the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus working right here among us. But God spoke to this church. God still speaks to this church. Now you can find out what God's will is, and you can please God. He can be pleased. He can be trusted on and depended on. We can find life, thank God. We don't have to think it's all arbitrary. Rather, we know that God is light, and He dwelleth in light. There's no variableness or shadow of turning in Him, and that we can have fellowship with Him and dwell in that same light with God. Thank God for that. We're not children of the night. We're not children of darkness. Rather, we are the children of light. That's who we are. This is our calling, is to be walking in the will of God and to know the will of God. Now that's contrary to our will. That's why people give up on it, because God begins to tell them something different than what they're hearing. And, oh, I'm not sure, I'm not sure, I'm not sure. I know. It takes one to know one. I know that. I've had God tell me several times, "Son, if you can't hear the truth about where you're at and what I'm telling you about your own personal life, what makes you think you can hear the truth about the rest of my word, the rest of my will?" So, Lord, I don't, what I have, I count precious. What I have, I've received from the Lord, mostly through His ministry. I count it precious. I realize there's very few people hearing what we're hearing. Very few people understand what we're understanding. And I'm very thankful for that. And the crucified life that we're called to live, very few people can understand that crucified life. And that's why John the Beloved wrote there in 1 John 3, he said, "Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Not just children, but sons. And what Paul said there in Romans 8 chapter, he said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Brother, you can be a child of God and not be led by a spirit, but if you're going to become a son and have a work to do and have a more mature relationship with God, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. Thank God we can be led by that Spirit of God. "But behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And then he went on to say, "For as the world knew him not, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And that's a thing we're going to have to, we are getting used to that, but we're going to have to continue to embrace that. That as this world gets darker, the world is going to understand us less and less and less. You'll have a harder and harder time being a good old boy and good old girl with this world. I don't know. Forgive me if I'm preaching to. Used to preach in a home where I'd just pin my ears back a little bit. Even there, though, I have to sometimes let them down a little bit. Help me. I love God's people. And I don't want to be a hindrance to anybody. But on the same hand, we are, and that's what Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. We got to keep preaching this and believing in this. But here, the world, for the friendship of, know you not that the friendship of this world is enmity of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. As we go on and pressing on to this will of God, and we begin to fight against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, that we're going to be less and less accepted by this world, till we're finally, and here's You know, a lot of people say, well, what's a sign of the coming of the Lord? The Lord really quickened this one to me recently. You know, we want to look at miracles. We want to look at healing, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead. But I'm telling you, one of the signs that we're really pleasing God is when we finally get enough of God and get so contrary to this world that the Lord begins to count us worthy to suffer for Him. Very few men mention that in how can we tell we're almost there. I don't know if anybody in the United States has been counted worthy to suffer for it yet. I think some ways it would affect me more if I were to see my leaders beat and stoned and done like they did there in the early church. Sometimes even them more myself. Could you imagine if they had a big to-do down here on a town square? They drug two or three men out of this church and took them down there and whipped every bit of hide off of them till the blood ran down. That brother, that worked something in your spirit. Well, that day's not here yet. And as Paul said, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. So we haven't been counted worthy of that yet. But I don't want to focus on that, but it's about doing the will of God. When we begin to do the will of God and begin to do it at a high level, it'll bring, as Brother Smith pointed this out, worked on a lot lately, it'll be a savor of death to some and a savor of life to others. And I would like to have that savor of life. But in order for it to bring eternal life, we know we're going to have to kill Adam. We're going to have to kill the flesh. There's going to have to be an execution. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. If we'll be a partaker of His death, we'll be a partaker of His resurrection. That's why Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection being made conformable unto His death. So we know we have to be made conformable unto the death of Christ. But the world is not going to know us. It's not going to understand what's going on. And we're not going to find an acceptance in this world. But thank God, I look forward to finding more, and I thank God for all that we have of an acceptance with heaven. That God would accept our prayer more than He's accepting it right now. We've got some on our prayer list going, God, would You accept our prayer? Would You help us? Would You answer a little more? Brother, I want the day to come when God would accept more of my prayers. And finally, every prayer I pray would be according to the will of God, that we could do it as Jesus said, that if we ask according to His will, He would hear us. And we would have whatsoever we ask. That's why we're pressing on, thank God. There's a promise coming. There's help coming. God is wanting to unite with His people. And it's becoming necessary that we unite with God. God, we know, is building up a dragon. We know He's preparing a beast. It's going to get where we're going to have to unite with God. We're going to have to get serious about His will being done. I haven't always wanted to get that way. I wanted to. Sometimes I'm just disgusted how much I love my own will. You know, God shows you how wretched it is, how earthly it is, how weak it is. And thank God that God allows us to get up in the Spirit from time to time. Get up above the clouds. Get in these blessed scriptures and begin to see. Thank God to know the will of God. By faith, we begin to see. We begin to know where God's taking this. Thank God we can get there. I thank God for that. And then that brings a hope in us, an expectation that, God, You're going to do that. I believe the Lord's going to do this. I fully expect Him to do it. Whether it's in my lifetime or not, I don't know. But I expect God to do what He said He's going to do. And furthermore, I expect to be a part of it. If I'll surrender my will, I'll keep on this pathway of charity, the pathway of holiness, and keep walking in the way that we've been instructed to walk. I believe we'll have that. And that's why I'm here tonight in Little Rock. Yes, my will could have been to go on home and do whatever. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to feel what we're feeling and to have what we're having. And sometimes, I guess, your will gets crucified enough, you don't have to fight it as quite as much. I thank God for that. That's my dad helped crucify that part of my will. Planted faithfulness in me. And so that part of my will's beat down quite a bit to where I don't have to fight it quite so much. It's, It's not totally there, but it's pretty well surrendered along these lines. And but you know, it's brought us here. And we've gained things that are eternal, things that are not available anywhere else in the world. Nowhere else have I found a sweeter refuge than I've found right here in the body of Christ. And this life that we've found, the hope that we've found, and as we look around, and of course, laboring there with a young assembly and trying to reach people, and you know, you feel the need for growth more when you're little. I thought, Lord, if you ever do add to this, I pray I don't lose this feeling until you're, you know, done with the Gentile age, and that age will come to an end, but it's not there yet. But until that time comes, Lord, that I'd feel whatever, God, you want me to feel. That as we look, and you know, different ones I've worked with, and they've touched, some of them have touched reality of the Spirit. I talked to a man the other day that had touched the Spirit of God. And I told him, I said, you can have the baptism of the Spirit of God, and you can feel that every day. His eyes got big. He said, really? I thought that was kind of once-in-a-lifetime deal. I said, no, you can have it every day. Well, he hasn't paid the price to show up yet. It'll cost you something. There's a price to be paid for this. He's talking to other people, witness to so many, and just realize nobody has what we have. Nobody understands, and I don't say this boastfully. I'm just saying this thankfully. Sometimes you got to know where you're at. You have to know. Again, we have to know that the will of God is not mystical, but it can be proven, and we can know it. And you can't prove it in the flesh, and you can't prove it in the Greek and in the Hebrew. But thank God, God has given us that realm that where He is, there we may be also. That realm of the Spirit and that joining Christ. And we know, thank God, the second heaven's not open yet, but it's going to be open. And we're going to, I'm looking forward to that. I've been preaching to the church and republic saying we're seeing first and third heaven angels in operation. But the day's coming, we're going to see first, second, and third heaven angels in operation, thank God. And finally, the first heaven's going to be rolled up like a scroll and be done away with. Thank God. And we know there's a hope and there's help coming in a greater way according to the will of God. Not because you and I decided that, but because God said it. We got to hold on to these things. We got to lay hold of this hope set before us. But by faith we press on. By faith we reach to these things. And we cannot be removed from our faith that we have and the hope that's in that faith. To be not removed. But finally we realize the Bible says that we don't just have faith in Christ, but we have the faith of Christ. That's where we're trying to go today. But when we get the faith of Christ is really when we walk in that will of God. And the will of God. And again, as we look at the will of God, let me just read you one more scripture, if I may. I don't want to get past Brother Michael's bedtime too far here. He started it, so I... Hallelujah. But, you know, as we're... And this bothers me about a lot of people in the body that are backing up on the doctrine of perfection. And a lot of them are trying to prove that some of their forefathers went on, and I'll just be quiet about that. But when you really, I was talking to a man the other day, I said, you got to let the Bible define that. He was giving me all these explanations. And that's the thing I love, again, about our ministry. About these men, we ought to consider where we've come from and where we're going to. Rather, these men that have labored among us and are still laboring among us, they were adamant about the Word of God, backing up whatever they taught. And we've got to let these blessed scriptures continue to back us up. That is the authority. There is no other foundation laid than Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone, and then the apostles and the prophets. And there are words here. But Colossians chapter 4, there's a scripture here that God defines perfection, but it involves that will of God. And how we're going to stand in the will of God. And His will being done. But that, again, that will is to life. It's to that quickening, to have that rest. That's how we, when we enter fully into the will of God, we enter fully into His rest. We cease from our own labors and enter into His rest. That's why we labor to enter into that rest. Well, how do you labor to enter into rest? Brother, when you fight against your will by faith to have God's will, then you can begin to enter into the rest of God. But here in Colossians 4 and 12, and I'm just reminding us of these verses. But here Epaphras was a young man. I thought, Lord, I don't know if anybody here tonight was praying for this, but the day and the age they were in, and they could pray for this. The end of that Jewish harvest and a few of the Gentiles making it. No doubt some of the Jews that were in Colossus were going in. And they didn't know altogether the times and the seasons. They did. God began to show Paul later on, finally in Thessalonians and a few, that the coming of the Lord was not yet. It had to come a falling away first. But Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Heard one man try to say perfection is just when you're striving for it and you know you're not there. That's not what the Bible says. Heard another, basically two men I've heard say that, more or less. And I say this, and Brother Smith might have to straighten me out, but I believe we agree with this. But the coming of the Lord is the great, His two comings are the two greatest events in all the history of the world. And the restoration of the church and the coming of the Lord is such a special time. I know he believes this because I got some of it from him. We're coming into such a special time that this can't be done outside. It's going to take the coming of the Lord. He's going to have to come, and he's going to have to, as Brother Linger used to say, and pardon me if I'm quoting too many names here, but I am in my spiritual father's house, grandfather's, maybe not directly, but indirectly I am here. But the Lord's going to have to get in the boat. He's near us, but he's going to have to get involved in a way we've never seen him involved. And I believe we're coming into that day. Brother, the will of God is going to finally be done in earth as it is in heaven. But Epaphras seen that and understood that, and he was praying, and it was a just prayer. And we're really not praying this prayer today. The day will come when we pray this prayer for one another. Fervently, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Don't let anybody take away from you that we can't know the will of God. That we can't know and have an assurity of what God wants done in our lives. Brother, that's not the spirit, the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. I love this, and I'm not saying we don't, but I'm just exhorting us to keep doing what we're doing. I'm preaching to the choir tonight, I know that, but I'm exhorting us to keep going on. Because we got to hold fast to that which is, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. We got to hold on. There's voices all around us, some within and some without, that would say to let go, that would say to let up, that would say we can't know and we can't do and we're not better than anybody else. I'm telling you, I'm not better than anybody else. I am not. But I'm telling you also yet again, I believe and I know with all my heart that what God has planted in this body, He's planted nowhere else. And the vision that we have is not anywhere else. And it wasn't that our forefathers were so smart. But brother, if God chooses you and God calls you, you better understand that God done it and that he that has begun a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it until when? The day of the Lord. Hallelujah. And in that day, he's going to complete that good work that he started in us. Thank God. Thank God for the understanding of the resurrection. That if it takes I pray and believe I'm in the resurrection of the just, the better resurrection. Thank God. Knowing that I can, if I go down now, I'm going down in a lively hope, in a good hope. Knowing that 1 Thessalonians 4 is the better resurrection of the Gentile church. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Somebody said it's not in there. I said, yes, it is. You got to understand what he's saying. Praise God. Rather, that's the will of God. Thank God we understand a little bit of that. Understand the mind of God. Where we are, children of light. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be here. That's why I'm here on a Wednesday night instead of somewhere else tonight. Because I realize this is a gold and jewel swap meet going on. I'm going to give you some of what I have, and I'm going to get all you have. and thank God, one little bit here, one little bit there, my little bag is getting full of the precious things of God. Hallelujah. And it's not the will of man. He loved a whole shot of my God. Our forefathers didn't decide this. That they got in a condition where they could surrender to God and humble themselves to where God's will rather could be done. They had to have some crucifixion, and I thank God they got crucified. As I look at what the price they paid, and God's asking me, are you willing to pay that price? God, if I can have what they have, I want to pay that price. And I believe that the best is yet to come. I believe that we have yet to fight. We have yet to run this race. God's calling and God's looking. And that's what I'm realizing. If it's up to man, we're in trouble. But you know our forefathers, they were in just as much trouble as we were. They struggled as much or more than we have. Brother, they never let go of faith. They never let go of the vision. They never surrendered pursuing the will of God, but they fought on. And brother, God strengthened them. And I'm expecting the same God that called my forefathers to strengthen me and to strengthen you and to help us to keep going on until we come to the unity of the faith, the unity of the Spirit, thank God, to a perfect man in the fullness of the stature and the nature of Christ. Not because we decided that, but because God showed us. And that's His will. And you know, most people don't have enough faith to believe that God could actually do that. But that's what I was going to say earlier. When we try to think that we can do this before God's time, we're exalting ourselves against God. And I don't want to exalt myself against God. Jesus, we need more of you. We need your coming. We need you in this body like we've never had you in this body to get done what we see by the eyes of faith about the will of God. Lord, we need that help. And I'm not going to exalt myself against God and say I can do it before He comes in the fullness of His glory. But we know when He comes, He will come and He will not tarry. I just want to be a part. I want to be one of those saints that go marching in. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I had this song, it's an old song, but it's mean more to me. I have singing with understanding now. But I look to the Jordan. What do I see? A band of angels coming after me. First, second, and third heaven angels. Swing low, sweet chariot. Well, I'm understanding more of what the chariots of God are, what the horses of God are. I'm understanding more about His operation. You had to quit singing that song for a while because we understood what it didn't mean, but I'm picking it back up again. I see a band of angels coming after me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just want to be a part of what God's doing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glad to be with you all tonight. You're in our hearts and our prayers, and I want to get that more to you. And keep us in yours. God's helping us. That's all I can say. There's times I'll ask Martha, you think anybody will be there tonight? I probably got some of them mad at me and some of them are backslidden. And we get there and here they are. God just helping us along. It's not me. It's not me. But God is helping us. And I believe God's helping y'all. And the more we understand that, the more He's going to help us. But that's part of why we come to prayer meeting before church. That's acknowledging, Lord, we need help. Lord, we need your help. We need you. We can't do this without you. Hallelujah. But Lord, if you're here, with you, all things are possible. Hallelujah. God bless your hearts. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
God's building a church in this hour full of righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder right for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today, and He's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour.
good to be home. This is home. It'll always be home. I know when you spent over more than half of your life here. And I remember the testimony of Brother Durham, the Sunday that David and I, we were sitting back right here. And Brother Durham was up talking, and he was talking about God's will, being in God's will. And I got up to say my goodbyes to everybody. And I said, well, sometimes you have to step out by faith. And to this day, in a way, I really don't know if I'm still in God's will, but being up in Northwest Arkansas, because so many things had happened that year, as if nothing has never happened before in the last 12 years, since our house burned in 2000. And then 6 months later, I lost most of my eyesight. And then David, y'all know, the people from here knows that story. And I was telling somebody the other day, I said, well, Brother Leonard was talking about corrective judgment. And I was telling this to Brother Mike a while ago. We were at dinner downstairs one day, and we was talking about it. And Brother Smith said, well, you're already going through it, your 15-year period. Because Brother Leonard taught that. And I thought, oh, Lord, well, am I going to die at the end of that 15-year period? If that's going to be the whole, your whole judgment of making you and helping you to overcome and everything, I thought, am I going to die? Well, you know how long that's been. That don't give me maybe 2-3 more years. And I don't want to die this early. But anyway, I think, as y'all know, we moved up there because of my disability. That was before I broke my leg. And I have two brothers there and a son. And we moved. We bought a house that's a mile from Jeff, but as the crow flies, it's just across the field. All those are cow pastures mostly. And then my youngest brother lives on Mother and Daddy's property. He inherited that, and it's about 2 miles from me. And then my oldest brother lives about 3.5 miles down Cave Springs. So I've got my family there. And I am getting closer, because living down here all these years, I never was real close to my brothers. And basically, I wasn't real close to Jeff. And the Lord has really, since I fail, my son has really paid more attention to me. When I first moved up there, he was very hard on me, very, very hard on me, chastised me a lot, just about so many things. And so many things happened, and I thought, am I in the Lord's will? Because I tried so hard to move back, and Brother Parker has heard this testimony, because I gave it at our fellowship meeting last year, or maybe the first of the year, this year. But Brother Smith knew how hard I was trying to move down here, signed a contract. Four houses down here in the back, and I thought, you know, I can walk up to the church. I don't have to drive. I can't drive, so I can walk to the church. I can go up there and help in the kitchen. I can go up there and do the laundry. I can go do this and do that. And I was just making all kinds of plans, and I had fixed out things that was decorative to the house. And the guy that owned the house lived in Boston, Massachusetts, and he wanted me to come down here in September, last September, to meet him. And he was going to do this and do that and for me. But when October the 24th came, that was a complete different story. I was putting boxes up in the attic, and one fell behind me, and I reached back, stepped back to get it. And I could have, I fell. I could have gone straight back the way I was standing and broke my back, be paralyzed. Or I could have broke my neck and be dead. That God spared my life. And I fell. I didn't fall on my shoulder. I fell exactly right there on that femur bone. And I heard it crush going. I mean, it broke in pieces. And Dr. Keller, my orthopedic doctor, said, Brenda, you'd been a lot better off if you'd broken your hip. He said, you've got a bad, bad break. And I didn't know this until about 3 months ago, that they took the femur the femur bone, the bone marrow out, and put the rod in the bone. And I've got a pin rod and a pin in my knee. But all through all this past year, not this year, but past year, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. It's been amazing when Sister Cindy started that song out about praising the Lord. I can't praise Him enough. I praise Him day and night. I lay my head down and I say, Lord, I thank You. I praise You. I love You. I praise Him in the daytime. He has carried me. He's kept me. And when I fell and I rolled over on my back, and I live in a subdivision where they're building new houses, and they were building a house angled from me. There were builders out there, and I could have screamed out. I could have cried. I could have yelled. But when I rolled over my back and I started calling on that name of Jesus, 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 that's all I knew to do is call His name. And I felt the sweetest spirit to come in that garage, and peace. I hadn't had peace. I couldn't get over David. I still can't. But I had peace because I knew then that the Lord wanted me to live up there for a reason. And still, sometimes to this day, I still don't know why. I don't know why. I really don't know unless it's for my family and for my son. Because my oldest brother talks about the Lord so much. We had a wonderful mother. And I tell Clyde Jr., my youngest brother, that's got mother and daddy's home, I said, Clyde Jr., you're living on holy ground. You're living on a holy ground. My mother was a saintly woman. And he tells me of dreams. I'll tell you a dream he had. Past winter, he was in the bathroom getting ready for work and shaving, and there was a bird that flew up on the ledge of the window. He said it was all feathered up and looked so sick and so sad. And Clyde Jr. turned around and he said, Lord, won't You heal that bird? He's pitiful. Heal that bird. Heal him. And the next day, he flew away. And the next day, he was back in the bathroom getting ready for work. And that bird came back to that window and pecked on the window. And that bird was clean. You would have never known that he was sick or cold or anything. He pecked on that window for Clyde Jr. to see him. The Lord is helping my brothers little by little. And I hope that I can be an example. I don't want to preach. My mother didn't preach at them. But my heart is here. My heart's here. But God knows best. He knows best. And it's good to be here. It's beautiful. Your faces are so beautiful. It's so lovely. And I've been trying to get down here for quite some time. And I just haven't had a way. I had a car. I sold David's truck and bought a car. And my grandson's been driving it quite a bit through a rod. So I sold it and got a little money out of it. So I don't have a car for him to drive me down here. So for me to get home, I could think the only way I know how to get home next week is for him. In fact, I'm having Teresa rent me a car, and he's going to come and get me. But I'm going to stay a few days. But to hear the band and the songs and the preaching and hear Brother Parker, and probably the greatest blessings other than been with my family and getting really acquainted and close to them is getting to go to all these fellowship meetings and mingling our wine and get to be with God's people and fellowship with them and hear different ministers up talking and testimonies, songs, and it's been a blessing to me. It really has, and I appreciate the DVDs that I get from here. It's blessings. They're such a blessing. Anyway, Brother Mike, I'm sure you're ready to go home. I love you, Mike. I love you and Cindy. I really do. And my little granddaughter does, too. She always, when I don't know if y'all remember this, but we were going home. It was just before we moved, and she'd been to church, and she said, "Papa," she said, "I don't like my church." He said, "Why, Anna?" She said, "It's boring." She said, "I love this church." She said, and she told me one time, she said, "I want to play the piano like Sister Cindy." Her heart was here. She loved this church. So y'all pray for Holly and Anna. I've asked for requests before. God's moving. God's answered a prayer that has been, I've been praying for over a year, about a year, not over a year, but about a year. And God's answered that prayer. So I know the Lord, you was talking about the Lord, he's closer to us than we think. He's closer to us. I feel him. I know it. I feel him. He lets me feel him. He's closer. Let's just wake up and rejoice. I praise him. I praise him. That's my song, really. They prayed it. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. I can't help it. If you know, a lot of people's had more. Sister Elsie, going through more than I've ever thought of going through. And I pray for her. But it's amazing what God can do. We just don't know. We just don't know. We just don't take it. His arm's not too short. He's right here, right now.
If you couldn't hear, Brother Parker was saying, in Republic they have church Friday night at 7:30. And then
Wednesday,
Friday, Sunday, and then Monday Bible study. When do you find time to go to your job?
The Lord's been talking about that.
It's been a good service. I appreciate it so much. And we count it an honor to have Brother Parker here. Come and deposit those wonderful things that he did tonight. And then it was really good to have Sister Brenda here too. We've been missing her, and we prayed for her a lot. And why don't we stand and let's thank the Lord for this. Yeah, that's all right. Why don't we stand? Let's thank the Lord, but let's also remember this for Brother and Sister Oates. They're good, faithful saints in the church, and I'd like to see God reach down and touch their son, Luke and Kyle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, we thank you so much for what you let us receive here tonight, God, the good words and the good spirit that we felt here. God, let it go down in our heart. Bear fruit for you, Lord. Pray, God, for Brother and Sister Rhodes, God, you'd give them strength, God, and wisdom and guidance to know how to help their children, Lord, and you'd touch Luke, not only physically, Lord, but touch him way down in his spirit, God. Let him know that you still love him. Let him see the hand of care that's on his life, God, and then go with us, God. Bring us back safe and watch over those, Lord, that travel to the Dominican tomorrow. Use them, Lord, for your kingdom, God. Watch over them. Bring them back safe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.